science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual.
This is the Quality News Network. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today to testify about the scandal surrounding the 8 fired prosecutors. He insisted that he only played a small role in their dismissal. However, the senators mostly reacted with skepticism. Oklahoma Republican Senator Tom Coburn told Gonzalez he should resign, stating, quote, "The best way to put this behind us is your resignation." Former classmates of the Virginia Tech gunman who killed 32 people and himself in a campus rampage Monday are speaking out. They say he was pushed around and laughed at as a schoolboy. Yesterday, NBC News released parts of the rambling video and written manifesto Cho Sung-hui sent to the broadcaster's New York headquarters. Some family members of the Virginia Tech shooting victims are upset with the media for showing the images. Fox News has said it would stop airing the video, while NBC and other networks say they will severely limit its use. Defense Secretary Robert Gates was in Iraq today to remind the Iraqis that the American public's patience with the war is running out. He said, quote, "Frankly, I would like to see faster progress." Gates met with top U.S. commanders in Iraq during his unannounced stop, his third visit to the country. In Baghdad today, 12 people were killed by a suicide car bomber. More than 230 people were killed in violence yesterday in one of the deadliest days since the Iraq War began. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said today that the war in Iraq, quote, is lost. Citing the extreme violence in Iraq this week, he added that the U.S. troop surge is, quote, not accomplishing anything. Reid said he told the president the same thing when he met with him yesterday as part of a bipartisan group that tried but failed to come to a consensus on the emergency spending bill to fund the Iraq war. New Hampshire's governor says he will sign a bill that makes civil unions for gay and lesbian couples legal in the state. The European Union has agreed to an anti-racism law to deal with racial prejudice and the denial of the Holocaust. At a campaign appearance this week, Republican Senator John McCain joked about bombing Iran. He briefly sang the Beach Boys song Barbara Ann with the words "bomb Iran" instead. You are listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Health officials say there will be a record 132 million doses of the flu vaccine in the U.S. in preparation for the 2007-2008 flu season. However, federal guidelines say more than 200 million Americans should get the vaccine, so the supply is still less than it should be, according to the Centers for Disease Control. A human rights group accuses Yahoo of assisting China's communist government with torturing its citizens by turning over information that leads to the arrest of dissidents. The popular online hangout MySpace.com has introduced a feature that allows users to recommend news stories to others. Online search engine Google reports its first quarter profit was up 69%. The company earned $1 billion in the time period. Applications for jobless benefits last week dropped by 4,000 to 339,000. And a consulting firm says that the Iraqi oil reserves could be twice as large as previously estimated. The report says Iraq may have an additional 100 billion barrels of oil, making the total available in the country 200 billion barrels. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.83 a barrel. And taking a look at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow had another record close, up 5 points at 12,808. The NASDAQ was down 5, the S&P 500 down 2. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, don't you
stop America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour, past 6 o'clock here on the East Coast. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Thursday edition of Head On. And it is it's an edition of Head On that, you know, that there was the initial need to talk about the Virginia Tech massacre, and I don't know, this week really can't end quickly enough to suit me. And Agnes is nodding. I'm not going to sit here and bellyache about what I get to do because I love what I get to do. But I don't know. There are weeks and there are weeks. I've felt so just whammied by the Virginia Tech thing. I mean, good God, that's an hour and a half away from where I sit right now. And lots of West Virginia kids go to Virginia Tech, a great engineering school. I feel sapped. And you know what? Don't think for an instant that I'm the only one who feels that way, because I can guarantee you that some of that was calculated in scheduling Alberto Gonzalez's testimony today in front of the Senate. Don't kid yourself. They calculate this stuff. The Bush administration sits around thinking about this stuff, knowing that a weary and grief-stricken nation would be less likely to bear down from a public opinion standpoint on a hopelessly corrupt, utterly inept, totally incompetent attorney general. Because of the emotional emotional hell of what Cho Sung-hui did at Virginia Tech. And no, that's not tinfoil helmet stuff. That's not, there's no black helicopters outside my window. It's just a fact. They knew our attention, even if it wasn't fully diverted, would be watered down by virtue of this firestorm of grief that the nation has gone through. Am I wrong? Somehow I get the sense that I'm not. So I tried to follow the Gonzalez thing today, And I suppose the biggest shock, if you're into that kind of thing, the biggest shock was that right wing freak from Oklahoma, Tom Coburn, coming out and telling Gonzalez he should resign. I know CNN has certainly wet itself over that issue. They write, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez confronted a fresh call for his resignation from a fellow Republican Thursday as he struggled to survive a bipartisan Senate challenge to his credibility in the case of 8 fired prosecutors. First of all, if you don't mind, and maybe it's just because I'm overly sensitive, could we not use words like survive in a political context in the same week that 32 innocent students were slaughtered by a madman? Just a note to the editorial desk at CNN. Because, you see, even if he was fired, or if he quit, or if he was dragged out in chains, Alberto Gonzalez would continue to be a living thing. Now, I'm not going to throw a word like person around, mind you, because, you know, even if Alberto Gonzalez was subjected to something that did not cause organ failure or death, he wouldn't be tortured. Alberto Gonzalez had to sit and answer questions, and some writer at CNN says he struggled to survive. Now, I know that I've raised this issue before, but I don't think there's anything wrong with me continuing to raise it. We've talked about what happened in Blacksburg, Virginia, for the past 3 nights. And of course, no answers are forthcoming because it is an unanswerable, heinous bit of madness and evil. But even so, to describe this, and of course, it's, I guess it would have been written this way this week or any other week, because again, by using words like survive, it points up the vicious nature of the inquiry. How dare the Senate even ask questions of a man so regal as Alberto Gonzalez? Right? Yeah, kinda.
And we've prosecuted members of Congress. We've prosecuted governors, Republicans. And so this notion that somehow we're playing politics with the cases we bring is just not true.
Oh, Lord. I promise. I'm not going to make you listen to him twice. I saw folks in the chat room earlier today who were watching it at the same time as listening to some horn programming, and they were just bleh. It was almost nauseating. So I won't do that to you. Now, what I may do to you later on, though, I got a couple of sound bites from Tweety Matthews in regard to the Virginia Tech thing that you just have to hear, because this is not in relation to the killings themselves, but in relation to the way that the media handles it. And you've got to hear this freak. I don't look good in front of a camera, but for God's sakes, I could probably stop stuttering. I could certainly not use words like, you know, freak and thug and turd in describing Republicans, because, you know, it's on TV and you can't use the fun words there. But I could, even with all of that, I could do a 1,000 times better job than Chris Matthews. But that's not anything about me. So could you. So could anybody. My kids could do a better job than Chris Matthews. You'll see what I mean when we get to it. Right now, we're joined on the phone by our good buddy David calling from Tennessee. David, I assume you've got Gonzalez on your mind?
Oh, brother, I got Don Lawless on my mind big time. I looked some today, I listened some today, then I turned around and I listened and I looked again, and I couldn't understand why I had this nagging thing running all through my head, and it finally dawned on me, all of this hearing business, all of this Republicans beating up on their own and taking him to task, Bob, it's all charade, it's wrestling, it's just a big fake dance. These guys, they don't really care. They don't really care about what's going on. They're going to throw one of their little minions on his own sword so that they can look like they care about America come the election of 08. I bet every one of these guys that's turning around is up for election.
Tom Coburn is.
I hadn't gone that far, but I thought...
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I could have sworn he was elected to his first term in 2000. Maybe it was 02. But, yeah, he's a first-term Republican senator from Oklahoma. This is after all, the same Tom Coburn. Now, and this is the kind of remembering that we have to do, because, after all, as a political nation, we have a bad case of galloping ADD. This is Tom Coburn, who, in campaigning for Senate in Oklahoma, David, said that there was rampant lesbianism going on in junior high schools among girls in Oklahoma. Well, lesbianism is among girls, so I guess I'm being redundant, but...
Gee whiz, a new variety of cowgirl up?
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Okay, I'll be more careful.
No, you won't. but no, this is, yeah, you know the word for this. You know the word for what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you mean, in relation to this
gentleman? Well, yeah, it's the guy in the black mask versus the guy in the red trunks.
Oh, it's wrestling all the way, and the real thing that hit me, the thing that made it so very, very apparent, there's not a single one of these Republicans that are suddenly turning on Gonzalez. I'll bet you every one of these guys that are trying their best to look like a tough guy where he's concerned, 6 months ago, let's say last Thanksgiving, couldn't say enough good things about, how to torture successfully Gonzalez. They couldn't say enough good things about him. And if any of this Republican stance that they're so nobly taking today, any of it was really the right way, if they really wanted to do the right thing, all those guys that are trying to slow roast Gonzalez over a fire would be talking about, we should really encourage those eight badly, or those that were appointed improperly, we should encourage them to resign. We should go back to square one. We're not going to hear that. All those guys want those Rovian attack dogs right where they are. So they got their cake, and they're going to get to eat it, too. Rove's got his attack dog, and they're looking nice. They're making nice for the public so they can be re-elected.
I think you're probably right.
I am. They've done this kind of stuff.
And this is political cynicism, what you and I are talking about, David.
Well, I just think it's bordering on playing a little bit of chess.
Some would say it's cynicism. I would say it's realism. These people right now, as our good friend Wayne has pointed out from time to time, Republicans don't take off years.
No,
they start the next campaign the day that the last one ends.
They've got the money to do that. For gosh sakes, I've been trying to educate myself a little bit more about hardcore right wing smut blogs and all the rest of it. There was a thing that showed up on Olbermann about this guy that essentially said it was the fault of the students because somebody didn't count bullets and rush the guy and try to take him over after, realizing that from across the room he could identify the weapon and how many were in the chamber, and once he was ready to change clip, somebody should have charged. And I
Neil Bortz, and you know who he is. He said that the failure of somebody to charge one of that young man's guns was proof positive of the wussification of America.
That is so disgusting to me, because None of these kids have been exposed to anything that would cause them to do that. If you're at VPI, you don't have a background of street fighting.
This is not the Citadel.
No.
It's not even VMI.
No, not at all.
You know, there's no class in rushing people with weapons.
No, there's yeah.
And you know, but in mentioning that, David, and I realize we've gone away from Gonzalez, but you will find our way back.
Oh.
That brings another thing to the fore, however, and that is what do you call it? Does Bortz get away with something like this because he has calculated the fact that we are suffering from IMUS exhaustion? I mean, there's nothing to defend in anything that IMUS said, but you know what? IMUS was the first, and he was probably a little further down the rung down the rungs as far as offenders are concerned. Neil Bortz should be chased off the air for suggesting that the victims, and who the hell is he to say that somebody didn't try to rush that gun? There's nobody, there weren't.
That's the very thing I was thinking of. Who's to say that somebody somewhere didn't try it and pay with his or even her life for it, and the only witness went with them or is in a hospital? We're tending to forget there's nearly 30 that are lying wounded under treatment as we speak. He wounded nearly as many as he killed. So there may be a witness out there that said, oh yeah, victim number 18 was headed toward him, but he still had rounds in the chamber or in the clip, so he got two off and my friend Kevin went down. Who's to say that there aren't two or three of those out there? Now, they get away with it because they've been encouraged to get away with it, and we have stood idly by and let them continue to cram this stuff down our throat, and nobody from their side is ever going to try to rein in their own. That's never going to happen.
Can I bore you for a minute with some reading?
Please do.
Do you know who Michelle Malkin is?
Yes.
The dark-haired version of Ann Coulter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here we go. April 18th, 2007, Michelle Malkin. There's no polite way or time to say it. American colleges and universities have become coddle industries. Big nanny administrators oversee speech codes, segregated dorms, politically correct academic departments, and designated safe spaces to protect students selectively from hurtful conservative opinions, while allowing mob rule for approved leftist positions, textbook case, Columbia University's Anti-Minuteman Project protesters. Instead of teaching students to defend their beliefs, American educators shield them from vigorous intellectual debate. Instead of encouraging autonomy, our higher institutions of learning stoke passivity and conflict avoidance. And as the erosion of intellectual self-defense goes, so goes the erosion of physical self-defense. Is it too early to ask, what if that bill had passed at Virginia Tech? That would have eased handgun restrictions on college campuses. Opposed by outspoken anti-gun activists, Virginia Tech administrators as well, that bill failed. What if it had passed? What if just one student in one of those classrooms had been in lawful possession of a concealed weapon for the purpose of self-defense?
I can't believe we're falling 100 years into the past. Even the old Wild West, after a time, said in many cases you were to check your weapons when you went into certain places. I guess according to that woman's vigorous debate, should also include, you know, what? Glocks at 20 paces? Is that part of it? And to aspire to a more civilized outlook on life where we can simply live our life in safety and peace? That's not something to aspire to? Hello?
I know. These are people who want to go back and... if you want to... a great author once suggested that handguns and firearms are purely offensive weapons. That as opposed to, say, a sword, which you can be offensive and defend yourself with, It's beyond certain parameters. It's hard to defend yourself with a firearm. And there's some truth in that, but the, I don't know. Maybe Michelle Malkin concealed weapon. Well, you know, the cops consider a scabbard concealing a sword. That's what we want. Maybe. How about let's go back to the Tybalts and who was the other family? Romeo and Juliet. The Capulets and the Montagues.
Oh yeah, that.
Let's everybody be walking around with a sword on our side. And did you pull your thumb at me, sir?
It just, it
and out come the blades.
It's just astonishing.
But see, the thing is,
that.
Blades would swords would never work because you have to learn to use one of those. And these big sissies, and that's what most of them are. These gun freaks are big sissies. And they hide behind firearms. Half of them have never been to a gun range. Probably 90% of them have never even field stripped their weapon.
No, probably not, and probably never hunted, so that they see the natural consequence. I think for every new gun owner, somebody somewhere, in addition to taking a whack at paper target, you should really understand what you are trying to inflict on the human body, some way, somehow, even if it's only a well-done video. These right-wingers that want to brag about, I went to the gun range, and now I'm qualified, and I have this... for all I know, they now have, rather than bluing, maybe they have pinking on some of them for the Ann Coulters of this world. I don't know. Never mind. I'll leave that one alone.
You know, you got to wonder, does Michelle Malkin own a firearm? Does Ann Coulter? No, they own bodyguards own firearms.
They buy into gated communities, and they have bodyguards. And all of this stuff is for us, not for them. It's for those outside their circle of friends. I guarantee you Neil Bortz is never going to be anywhere where he would need a gun.
No, not inside the gated community, not unless some half-crazed, mad opossum gets over the wall.
The only way that's going to happen...
But then a big conservative sissy like Bortz would run screaming into the night.
Yeah, as soon as it came out of a ball and hissed at him, and he smelled that bad breath, he's probably on the way.
Yeah, they just love dry canned food, those possums.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had a watch possum once, David.
I like that idea.
Yeah, Roxy the watch possum. We knew she was Roxy because she had him on her back, the babies that is. But yeah, we kept a dish of cat food out for her, and she hissed at anybody that didn't know us that came up on the porch. Our nice redneck neighbor caught her in a steel jawed trap one time and put an end to her.
Oh.
But anyway, that's entirely an aside.
Yes, we should not. We on our side of the aisle, the progressives, please don't take it as any... It's a small victory that Gonzalez is up there revealing himself. He's filling in the paint-by-numbers picture of just how ugly he really, really is because he was forced into several answers that are tremendously revealing. But in terms of really mattering, no. The president may make him fall on his sword, and then, this will be a chance for Harriet Myers to come back into the Bush White House.
Well, really, what is the
something else?
What's the outcome? What's the end game on the Gonzalez hearing? Is this it was a dog and pony show, wasn't it?
Bush will ask that he euphemistically fall on his sword, and then he'll turn out to be the second underling White House counsel with no reduction in pay nor privilege, and somebody just as bad or worse than Gonzalez will be in that place, and the 8 row attack dogs will still be in places where they can pursue voter fraud as opposed to Republican corruption. It's as plain as day. Just like Bush is going to stick with Wolfsmith.
Yeah.
Now that guy. Oh, yeah, my girlfriend. Let me see what I can do toward getting the girlfriend a $500,000 a year. Oh, no, nothing's going wrong. Not me. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Precisely. And it's not like a trial. At the end of Senate hearings, mostly nothing happens.
No, I don't think they have any power. I think they can squawk, they can make noise, they can, you know, do whatever they want to do, but unless and until the president gets rid of him and puts an honest human being in the man's place, nothing has been accomplished. Because, again, and I won't say it any more than this one, the eight uglies are still in place around the nation, and whatever void Gonzalez makes in his leaving, should the president say, Berto, why don't y'all go back, maybe open a chain of taco stands or something, I'll check with you in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's his, well, no, I know what it was. You know, our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at Finnerman, Finnerman Works.
Sure.
.com. He scripted the Alberto Gonzalez hearing earlier today, and I got, as I always do, got a good chuckle out of it, because one of the questions, you know, Orrin Hatch took the microphone to say, Mr. Attorney General, what is George Bush's nickname for you? To which he responded, Alberito. Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I did.
That's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, that was. It was. David, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. I always enjoy the chance to rant. It lets me feel better.
Saturday, wrestling at the Barton Civic Center and National Guard Armory. It's Alberto Gonzalez. Yep.
Yeah, watch Berto kneel and grovel. It won't matter. The next one will be worse. Thanks for joining us.
And he'll actually get to win when the show moves on to the Busted Knuckle Civic Center.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, he'll have a book out by New Year's.
See you, David.
Later.
Oh God, I wonder. Yeah, it is. It's a steel. I mean, look how this. It was a steel cage death match with chainsaw. Oh. No, it was just another ineffectual hearing. I mean, no, it got a little testy in there. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a pretty friendly place, the United States Senate. We'll take a break and come back. Your phone calls, you know it, they're welcome. On our nickel, 877-443-2366. On yours, 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice, by golly. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Remember how the Republican freaks behaved every time a Clinton administration official came before them, because they subpoenaed them constantly. We heard that you left the butter out last night. We need the entire White House's kitchen staff to testify, please. We've budgeted $35 million for the investigation. Listen to the, now, like I said, I don't have any live sound, but check out this exchange. John Cornyn was one of the most vicious, poisonous, vitriolic, hateful, sleazy, lousy, dirty, rotten, nasty members of the Republican Senate majority. Now he's in the minority. This is the exchange between him and Bertie Gonzalez. I believe you are a good and decent man, Cornyn told Gonzalez. But I have to tell you that the way this process has been handled is really deplorable. I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed in you. Okay, I added that last part. It would have been much better to tell each attorney, thank you for your service, Cornyn said, and explain that it's time for someone else to do their job and serve their country. And afterward, why, there could have been pettifours and espresso and soy milk lattes with extra foam. Jesus, if that had been a Clinton administration official. You bastard! You communist! How dare you! Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not making, I mean, okay, maybe it's a little bit of radio theater, but we lived through all of that, didn't we? We saw them drag, Travelgate! Do you remember Travelgate? The White House decided to change travel agencies. And they spent a few million dollars investigating it. And now we get... This was deplorable. I think I'm going to cry. Golly, Ned. It boggles the mind. Oh, by the way, up in Wisconsin. Yeah, Wisconsin. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Maybe one of our Wisconsin listeners has read about this. There was a lady named Thompson who was a career Department of Administration official. And they let bids on the travel agency for the state. And she took the low bid. And it turns out the person who owned that travel agency had contributed $10,000 to the governor's reelection campaign. Nobody knew it. It wasn't even reasonably discoverable upon due diligence. Well, the Bush administration crony in the Justice Department, who was the U.S. attorney, brought felony charges against Ms. Thompson, a 55-year-old lady who'd been doing jobs in the Office of Administration for years. And prosecuted her and secured a conviction. Now bear in mind, the governor of Wisconsin is a Democrat. And that appeal was thrown out. Dig this. I mean, this just doesn't happen in legal circles, you know, because what's the old saying? The wheels of justice grind exceeding slow, but also exceeding fine, or something like that. This case went up on appeal. She appealed her conviction. It went up on appeal, and the appeals court, on the day that they had oral arguments, looked at the U.S. attorney and said, "You are crazier than a outhouse roach. What are you trying? This isn't a crime." And they threw the whole conviction out. But, you know, the damage, you know, what they were trying to accomplish political damage by indicting a career civil servant inside the Office of Administration in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm not talking about, you know, wild-eyed liberal appeals court judges either. Like, old guard conservative judge went, "You people are nuts." Case dismissed, reversed, remanded, thrown out, stricken from the books. Let not the name of this prosecution be spoken again in the land of Egypt. That's the kind of prosecution that these cronies bring in this incredibly compromised, pitifully degraded, pathetically prostituted U.S. attorney's offices. Then there's Minnesota, where the woman that was appointed U.S. attorney is fond of running around spewing Bible verses. Ma'am, we've got a case here. Looks like car theft with drugs being carried across state. Suffer not a witch to live! Holy. This the entire Justice Department has been turned upside down. And you know it and I know it. Meanwhile, Michelle Malkin is using her column to ask whether or not it's too early to suggest that everybody that goes to Virginia Tech should have been packing heat. And Neil Bortz asks whether or not Virginia Tech represents the wussification of America. Dig that. Just get your whole soul around that. There are 33 grieving families, and nearly 30 more who are wondering and waiting and hoping daily and by the hour and by the minute for the survivors. And that sleazy little punk in Atlanta has suggested that they're all not manly enough. because you understand. Well, I mean, they're wussies. He's on over-the-air radio, so he has to say wussification. Because being a conservative, he finds it derogatory to refer to males, apparently, with a euphemism for female genitalia. Because wussy is, after all, an elision of wimp and pussy. A wussy. Again, you know, I said during the Imus thing, God forbid that I had been the father of one of those daughters when he called them prostitutes. God forbid that I or any of you are ever in the same or similar circumstance to what happened in Blacksburg, and some blathering, blithering idiot comes out and says that your son wasn't man enough to charge a madman with a gun. Agnes, wussies, the wussification of America. Why does that man have a radio show? Again, that's not all. You know, no, let's remember what he called Cynthia McKinney, a sitting member of the House of Representatives of the United States of America. He called her a ghetto slut. Maybe it's just pointless for me to remark on this stuff. Right. Why is Bortz still on the air? Why is Limbaugh still on the air? Yeah, Agnes.
Well, considering the case that he's making there, why isn't he doing something?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, what does the man stand for?
If somebody pulled a gun on Neil Bortz, you would see a puddle of yellow collect around his ankles within milliseconds. He's a conservative. He's a Republican. He, by definition, is a coward.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, is he... evidently, he's pro-gun.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, yes.
And does the man even know how to handle one?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, so that would be the best way to find out. You know, challenge him on it.
Well, nobody's going to.
See if he'll come on the show.
No, he won't. I'm not going to give that filthy dog an opportunity to waste my airtime.
Oh,
hell
honey,
no.
Honey, it's fun to play with your friend.
No. No. That man gets... No. Let's go to the phone. Susan's been waiting, calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Just thought I'd bring up a couple of points. The people who are suggesting that everybody on these universities be carrying a gun, before they do that, perhaps they should pay attention to this little news item. This happened the day after the shootings occurred at Virginia Tech. Two Secret Service officers were injured on Tuesday after a gun held by another Secret Service officer accidentally fired inside the White House gate.
Yeah, I saw that. That was another one of those great journalism moments. It said that they were shot in the White House.
Now,
yeah, it's just above your that's just above your liver and right beside your gallbladder, your White House.
Right. Now,
sorry.
If Secret Service agents who are super, super highly trained can wind up shooting each other. What do you think?
You know, I hope they're okay. They're just working stiffs. But yeah, but again, they probably carry Glocks. If I recall correctly, right after the New York City Police Department went to arming their officers with Glocks, they had all kinds of accidental shootings.
Yeah. Now, one other point. These super, super right-wingers who are so pro-gun control and so ultra, we got to be like the Wild West and all this jazz. They seem to forget the most notorious gun battle in the entire Old West was set off because Wyatt Earp, in order to clean up Tombstone, banned guns in that town.
That was the beginning of it, yes.
And in order to make that stick, he had to shoot a whole lot of people. But he cleaned up Tombstone.
Well, let's not get all misty about the Earp brothers, okay?
No, I'm not, but what I'm
they were thugs.
Is, yeah, they were. But what I'm saying is, guys, do you really want to be like that? This is what I'm saying. Do you really want to be like that thug? Ooh.
No, I don't think so.
No.
But then again, these people are only good at talking about conflict.
Yeah.
They're not much good at living through it.
They hide from it. They hide from it.
Sure, yeah. And run from it, and don't go anywhere that this kind of thing goes down.
Yeah. And it just kills me that somebody like Pink can't go on if she goes on for a program or radio, a TV program or a radio show. She's literally forbidden to speak about her political views because of that song she performed.
Yeah, that we we played a little bit of it last night. It's a gorgeous song, and now wouldn't it be cool to get her on the show?
Oh yeah, do it. Give her a platform. Give Rosie a platform. Yeah, you know,
not a bad.
Everybody
well,
likes
Rosie's kind of got a platform. I mean,
well, hey, never hurts to have another one.
Well,
besides
that's true
that,
too.
Having Rosie on wouldn't hurt. Anyway. I just wanted to bring up a bit about the Secret Service mentioned.
Oh, I know. I didn't get around to it. It's another one of those. You know, I mean, my life these days is a series of stories I have not gotten to.
Yeah, if you want a sheer giggle, look at today's show post and look at the picture. That's a plant, by the way.
Okay. Now I'm just curious. That's a plant.
Agnes thought she thought it was great.
Yeah, she's over here laughing, so it's got to be good. I'll try to navigate over maybe during the news.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, you have a lot of fun and have a better evening. I hope.
I think it will be. Thank you, Susan.
I think some of what Gonzo said was fun, just so that I could basically spiritually stick in Vinny.
You know, there's probably a market for Alberto Gonzalez voodoo dolls.
Hey, we could always make those and sell them through the horn.
That's right.
Make money. Never
Susan.
Thought of that. You and Agnes have a great day.
All right, we'll do. Bye
bye-bye.
Now. Voodoo? Hoodoo? You do. Let's see. How does that go, Agnes? You remind me of a man. No, what man? The man with the hoodoo. You do. What? Remind me of a man. What man? The man with the hoodoo. An exchange between Cary Grant and a growing up Shirley Temple in a movie called The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. One of those little exchanges I've learned over the years. Let's go back to the phones. Our buddy King David McKenzie calling in. Hey, King David.
Hey, hello.
How are you?
Well, just got back from the chiropractor. I've been having some problems with my back in the last month or so.
I hate that.
And,
there's nothing like back pain. Oh, well, yeah, I know.
Yo, it's my back. Come on.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Try the veal.
I'm veggie. I'm sorry. Anyway, you brought up Mr. Bort's, little.
Yeah.
While ago, why don't you just, you know, refer to him as Mr. Boer and have done with it?
Yeah, I think the TZ is for appearances only.
You know, that's, you know, one of those, you know, a marketing gimmick. I am in the process of trying to organize a boycott of the sponsors of radio stations that air hate radio shows like that.
Well,
I have a mailing list already up for trying to organize.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it over there? Is it over there at unreportednews.net?
I don't know if there's anything up on it there. Per se, I think there may be.
Well, where is this list?
Okay, in fact it's on the Google email group organization, and I have a tiny URL for it if anybody wants to take it down.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, tinyurl.com/2f4p9t.
Okay, one more time. tinyurl.com/2
F as in Frank, 4 P as in Paul, 9 T as in Tom.
Alrighty then.
And that will get you to the home page of the hate radio boycott list. And I've set it up that way because without realizing it, I actually had set it up through groups.google.ca rather than groups.google.com, and a lot of people, yeah, especially in the States, don't relate to .ca very
right
much. That's
well, I know if you listen to, yeah, Bortz, King David, you'll
hear. I try not to.
I know, but back when the local hate radio station around here decided that they were tired of ponying up nine large a year to run Rush, they went to straight barter to get Bortz. And so I get a little bit of Bortz every now and then if I'm out and about in the vehicle. And I know that the primary sponsor that I hear him blathering on about is an organization called, I think it's called Vision Computers.
Hmm.
I guess they're like a little baby Dell.
Okay.
All of my computers are from Vision Computers, and your wait time for technical service is something on the order of 15 seconds. How about that, folks?
Kind of a similar deal to when Limbaugh was hawking CompuServe.
God, I've almost forgotten about that, but yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But these people sell PCs. And so, add that to your list.
Okay, well...
And then, of course, you know...
Get me with you whatever information there is on any of these things.
Okay, no. Okay, oh, well. Because, you know, do they know that they're hustling hate?
I would have to imagine that some of them do. It's just that it doesn't register in their minds as hate. That's part of the problem. They don't recognize it for what it is.
But they
know of the product that they're putting their ads into.
And Spocko of Spocko's Brain, the blog, the guy that went after KGO. Melanie Morgan,
or not KGO, I'm
KSFO, yeah,
yeah.
The thing that he did that was so effective and got him the cease and desist letter from that sleazy little lawyer was that. He not only wrote and complained, he provided them with audio so that they could judge for themselves.
Right.
And what would be... I'm going to have to check over at Media Matters and see if they've got the audio of Bortz basically calling the people who were gunned down by Cho, calling them wussies. And if they do, we ought to take that audio segment and send it to all of Bortz's sponsors.
And to every sponsor on every radio station that carries Bortz's show, not just the ones that buy into the
network feed,
the program,
sure,
per se, because a lot of the radio stations will carry Bortz, but they'll allow for an advertiser to say, "Don't put me on during the Bortz program," but they will lure the advertiser with the ratings that they get from 6 a.m. to midnight, which includes Borch, which includes Limbaugh.
Sure. And let's remove, King David, let's remember one other thing. Make the complaints make the complaints direct to the advertisers. Don't think you're going to get anything by going through the president or the general manager, because if you call a president or a general manager of a local radio station and you say,
Yeah,
because they then say, yeah, keep complaining. I love it every time you call. It means you're still listening.
Yeah, like Tom Likas used to say, when you write the hate mail, make sure to spell my name correctly. L-E-Y-K-I-S.
Exactly. Yeah.
There is, by the way, also, there is a new program, a new Echoes program coming up on, I'm uploading it right now to unreportednews.net, and it is on the Nazi camps, both POW camps and concentration camps. And it includes the legendary broadcast of Ed Murrow trying to get through his own description of what he saw when he was along when Buchenwald was being liberated.
I've heard that, and it's stunning. And how appropriate that we're talking about the modern manifestation of hate.
Yeah.
And you're uploading that now, so everybody run by and give it a listen.
Yeah,
at unreportednews.net. Dave, we've got to roll because we're at the top.
Okay.
But always good talking to you.
Yeah, likewise.
All right, take care.
Keep it going.
Hey, best with the back.
Thanks.
Later. All right, we'll go to the news now. Light them up if you want to. 877-443-2366, toll free to you, or if you've got your own long-distance unlimited plan, 304-658-5453. Either way, you are welcome right here on America's Liberal Voice, The Horn. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez told the Senate Judiciary Committee he wants to restore their faith and confidence in him. He insisted he had only played a small role in the firing of 8 federal prosecutors. Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma told Gonzalez he should resign, stating, quote, "The best way to put this behind us is your resignation." Former classmates of the Virginia Tech gunman who killed 32 during a rampage Monday are speaking out. They say Cho Sung Hui was pushed around and laughed at as a schoolboy. NBC News is being criticized for airing parts of Cho's rambling video diatribe that was sent to the broadcaster's New York headquarters. Some victims' family members are upset with the media for showing those images. In Iraq, Defense Secretary Robert Gates today reminded Iraqis that the American public's patience with the war is running out. Gates met with top U.S. commanders in Iraq, saying he'd like to progress faster. This unannounced stop was his third visit to the country since he became Defense Secretary. In Baghdad today, 12 people were killed by a suicide car bomber. More than 230 were killed in violence yesterday, one of the deadliest days since the Iraq war began. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said today that the war in Iraq, quote, is lost. Citing the extreme violence there this week, he added that the U.S. troop surge is not accomplishing anything. Reid said he told the president the same thing when he met with him yesterday as part of a bipartisan group that tried but failed to come to an agreement on the emergency spending bill to fund that war. The European Union has agreed to an anti-racism law to deal with racial prejudice and the denial of the Holocaust. To win the approval of the 27 member countries, the law was weakened from its original proposals. And New Hampshire's governor says he will sign a bill that makes civil unions legal in the state. New Hampshire will become the fourth state in the U.S. to allow civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. A deputy to World Bank chief Paul Wolfowitz has reportedly urged Wolfowitz to resign because of the controversy over his role in obtaining a promotion and pay raise for his girlfriend, a bank employee. You're listening to the Quality News Network Science and Business News coming up next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, six elections, five space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
Health officials say there will be a record 132 million doses of the flu vaccine in the U.S. in preparation for the upcoming flu season. However, according to federal guidelines, at least 86 million more people should get the vaccine, so the supply is still short. A consulting firm says the Iraq oil reserves could be twice as large as previously estimated. The report states Iraq may have an additional 100 billion barrels of oil. A human rights group accuses Yahoo of assisting China's communist government with torturing its citizens by turning over information that led to the arrests of dissidents. The group plans to file a lawsuit today. In Beijing, Microsoft's Bill Gates has launched a new initiative aimed at bringing computer technology to developing nations. The program will provide inexpensive software to governments if they provide free Windows computers to schools. The goal is to bridge the digital divide and tap into a new PC market. Google's first quarter profit rose 69%. The California search engine company reported earning $1 billion during the first 3 months of this year. And light sweet crude is trading at $63.32 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 5 points, the Nasdaq down 5, and the S&P down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Seven minutes past the hour. Just to give you an idea of what I just did. In our conversation with King David McKenzie, I mentioned that Neil Bortz is sponsored by Vision Computers, and it goes and it's a network sponsorship. It's not some local sponsorship in, you know, Beckley, Podunk, whatever. No, I'm not saying Beckley's Podunk, but you can see it from there. Vision Computers, I mean, you know, he does long babbles about them, you know. I just went to their website, visioncomputers.com, and at the bottom there's this thing that says, please give us your feedback. Email, well, I gave him my email address. And they say, we want your feedback on our website. Questions, comments, and suggestions are all welcome. Please take a moment at any point during your stay to fill out the box below. It's actually off to the side. It will be at the bottom of every page for easy access. You should include your email for a response. Thanks very much, the Vision Web Team. Dear Vision Web Team, you sponsor Neil Bortz. That man recently described the victims of the Virginia Tech massacre as representing the wussification of America. Do you really want to be a part of that? If you do, then I, as a business person who frequently purchases computers and may soon be upgrading to servers, do not wish to do business with you. There's no place for hate like Bortz's. You need to tell him that and pull your support of his hateful commentary. And having shared that with you, I'll now hit that little button marked Submit. And away she goes. Now, over at, don't take my word for it. Go to MediaMattersForAmerica.org, and you can find it. It was April 18th. It was, in other words, yesterday, when Bortz, in a segment that he calls Neil's News, N-E-A-L-Z-N-U-Z-E, posted it on his website. He asked, "How far have we advanced in the wussification of America?" He was responding to criticism. This is all there. Criticism of comments he made on the April 17th broadcast of his radio show, when he asked, "How the hell do 25 students allow themselves to be lined up against the wall in a classroom and picked off one by one? How does that happen when they could have rushed the gunman, the shooter, and most of them would have survived?" Let's see what the clip says there, Agnes. Okay. We'll have it in a minute. Here comes Neil. A little slow.
There are several questions about the Virginia Tech situation yesterday. One of them is the blame game.
Yeah.
The other one is gun control. The other one is, and this is one that I've been reading up on a little bit this morning and have gained some insight, and I'm hoping, I would love to get some psychological or somebody in the business that can answer this question. How the hell do 25 students allow themselves to be lined up against a wall in a classroom and picked off one by one? How does that happen? When they could have rushed the gunman, the shooter, and most of them would have survived.
How's that? And then the next day on his website, he asks, "How far have we progressed in the wussification of America?" What kind of sad, sick, twisted mind do you have to be in order to, in the midst of, and the thing is, you know, he did all this, you know, when it was still, like it's not raw now. And he put up on the web for everybody to go and read, including, if they so chose, the grieving, horrified, forever shattered parents of that disastrous day in Blacksburg. Put it up on their, on his website for them to read, that he feels like their murdered children weren't masculine enough, because they were wussies. Do we really think, I mean, is it possible? Is it possible that Vision Computers endorses that kind of commentary? There are times that I just ask, where, what the hell has happened to this country? You know, if you go to, I was over at the CNN website. I go through. The lead article there is Tech Victims Remembered. And the photograph changes periodically, and they're all fresh-faced, sweet, young people with lives and careers and accomplishments in front of them, And the only thing that a filthy right-wing conservative, he calls himself a libertarian, like Neil Bortz, can come up with is to impugn their lack of courage. God Almighty.
One of the professors tried to rush him, didn't he?
Tried to hold him back at the door.
And what happened?
Got his brains blown out.
Okay, I rest my case.
It's not a case that Bortz can win. But again, just as with Don Imus, it's not like he said one thing and he got the axe for it. It's a million things he said. If you go to MediaMatters.org, there's a catalog of Neil Bortz. Referred to the Prophet Muhammad, and you know how I feel about religion, so spare me. About organized religion. But referred to him as an Arab rag picker. What? I'm a jealous advocate and defender of the First Amendment. I have no desire to see the government crack down on Bortz and tell him he doesn't have the right to say that. That would be a violation of the First Amendment. But if you ever consider purchasing a new computer, you have every right in the world to tell Vision Computers that you will never, by God, do business with them, and that you will tell the story of how they sponsor a man who impugned the courage of people who were busy being slaughtered. You have every right to do that. And by the way, in case you're wondering, in case there's any moral qualms about doing something like that, the right wing has been doing that to liberal talkers for decades. Ask Mike Malloy. If you listen to Mike long enough, every now and then he'll tell the story of what happened at WLS in Chicago. Or he'll talk, and Tom Hartman can probably answer these questions. Peter Werby can answer them. Peter B. Collins can answer them. Stephanie Miller, Bill Press, Guy James can talk on this issue. My God, Guy was I hope I'm not telling tales out of school. Guy was paying his own money to buy time to put a show on a radio station in Florida, and they came to him and said, the right-wingers are beginning to complain too much, and they say that they won't listen to the rest of the programming until we take you off the air. Bye-bye, Guy! I know about it. Oh, Lord God, I know about it. All I had to do was step up and say a few decent words about some hard-working nurses at Appalachian Regional Hospital in Beckley, and the general manager had to field a call from the cretin who runs that outfit. Oh, I'm sorry, cretin who runs that outfit. And the next thing I knew, I was out of a job. The right wing has perfected this, and meanwhile, we've sat by the whole time while, you know, Rush Limbaugh says, call me back when you get the bone out of your nose, or the NAACP needs to offer a class in robbing liquor stores. Ha! Well, that's a joke! He's an entertainer. And while Bortz says that the people who were young children, damn it, children, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, who've never had any military training in their lives are supposed to charge a man with a firearm who has worked his ballistics out well enough that he's getting 3 rounds into every single victim, or pretty nearly. You're supposed to charge him. Now, do we sit idly by with that? Or do we follow the lead of somebody like Spocko and take the audio and ask sponsors? And then see, now this is not marching orders. You don't have to do this if you don't want to. But bear in mind, there are network sponsors and there are local sponsors. And what I said to King David McKenzie is very true. If you want to complain about a guy who you don't like, don't tell it to the general manager unless you're buying advertising from the general manager. Because then, like the general manager did in Beckley, he'll get his knee pads on. But if you're just calling to say, I don't like the content of the program, they love it when you call because that means you're still listening. And if you're a progressive or a liberal and you call into a right-wing talk host because you're going to prove him wrong, guess what? You're getting had. The way you get through to these people is to get through to the people who line their pockets. Vision Computers advertises on Neil Bortz because they think that Bortz has an audience that will buy computers from them. Now, if they see that it's becoming worse for them as opposed to better for them to advertise with Neil Bortz, they'll stop. If they get more comments saying, I want nothing to do with you as long as you have anything to do with Neil Bortz, and there's enough of those comments, they will stop with Bortz. And you know what? Bortz can't say a damn thing about any of this because he's a free marketeer. He's a libertarian. And he acknowledges your freedom to try to drive him off the air. Because you're just that free. Right? Darn right. Enough of that. But I did want you to hear, I will always try to be truthful and honest with you. But it's always better if you can hear it straight from the horse's rear end's mouth where right-wing talkers are concerned. Let's take a break, Agnes. Your phone calls, you know, are more than welcome. What do you think of this? Is it worth your effort to try to end this hateful speech? Put yourself in the shoes of the families there. Can you stand up for them? They're too aggrieved. They're too miserable. They're too sad. They are too sodden with sorrow to do it for themselves right now. But you can help. We don't need victims of murder being called wussies, do we? This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. Chime in. We'll be back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe
and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right, they include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Chris, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
I'm Mark Martin, driver of the number 6 AAA Ford. When it comes to learning about safe driving, kids look up to their parents. Set a good example. Keep your hands on the wheel and your mind on your driving. Remember, there's no better role model on the road than you.
Six past the hour. Yeah, we're about halfway through tonight's program. Whether it's the Gonzalez thing, whether it's the follow-up stuff to the Virginia Tech massacre, or anything else that might be on your mind to talk about, knock yourself out. Welcome aboard, because after all, this is. A far cry's difference from anything that you're going to get over the air. The beauty of what we've built here is that there is time for you in abundance. And if you listen to talk radio, you know what a difference that makes. Because on over-the-air radio, no matter how hard people try or how much they want to continue the conversation, there's slaves to a pre-existing time clock, and it's annoying. So take advantage of what we're offering you, or do it by email. You know, there's a lot of people that you write, I'll read. Okay. I love the way the minds think out there. Just heard from our good friend Georgia. I mentioned the Shirley Temple, Cary Grant. If you have never seen The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer, do. It's brilliant comedy. Myrna Loy, Cary Grant, Shirley Temple, and it was just, and the exchange that I mentioned is between Shirley Temple and Cary Grant. She says, "You remind me of a man." He says, "What man?" "The man with the power." "What power?" "The power of hoodoo." "Hoodoo?" "You do." "What?" "Remind me of a man." "And what man?" And it goes on and on and on, and it's one of those comic timing things, and it's perfect. And Georgia also writes, "Every time I hear Happy Birthday, I think about the scene in the schmancy restaurant when the argument breaks out between Myrna Loy and Cary Grant and his other lady friend and her date that were there celebrating the date's birthday and joined them. They're screaming at one another about every 30 seconds, adding to the confusion. You see the waiters in the background carrying a birthday cake to different tables and singing happy birthday at the top of their lungs. What a great piece of business that was. It still cracks me up to think about it. They just don't make them like that anymore. And, you know, baseball season just started, and there's a wonderful movie out there called It Happens Every Spring with Ray Milland. Kind of a forerunner to Flubber in a way, because it's a sort of a nebbish professor who loves baseball, who invents this substance that makes baseballs just go wild, and he gets to fulfill his dream of pitching in the bigs. Classic stuff. Or you could go see 300, in which the King of Persia is represented as a post-punk piercing devotee and who has an army of Balrogs. You pick. Okay, moving on. Oh, God, you know, I just saw clips of that movie, and I realized it, because I... No ancient history rant, I promise. But when I saw the Balrog march out, I just... Oh, darn it! Balrogs at Thermopylae! Yesterday, and I do have sound of this, because I want... If you were listening to the top of the hour news, there's questions over whether or not NBC should have aired the footage of the hateful multimedia presentation that Cho Sung-hui sent, blah 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 blah. You know what it was? Everybody else was jealous. NBC, classic example of the laziness of the media. Oh Jesus, we just got a scoop and it fell right in our lap, and you guys can't have it. What? And we didn't even have to work for it. The crazy little bastard just sent it to us. Couldn't even get the zip code right. He mailed it to Rockefeller Avenue, New York, New York. And he had to scratch out the zip code like 3 times. Oh, yeah, he was stressing. Jesus. Crazy, crazy. Oh. Now, wait a minute, I got to put down my gun so I can write. Oh! Here, let me hold the gun for you, son. You know. No, so the media are having a hissy. Oh, we won't run that anymore except in very... No, because we're being responsible journalists. Not... They're trying to goad NBC into not running it anymore, so that the playing field will level up again. And see, that's what's so sick about the mainstream media, because everybody finds out that NBC gets this little multimedia package, and you know what? Over at CBS, Katie Couric, and over at ABC, Charlie Gibson, are going, damn, why couldn't the crazy little have sent it to us? Boy, we sure would have run with that one. Because remember, where the mainstream media is concerned, if it bleeds, it leads. It's a sleazy business that has some elements of nobility about it, but you have to actually work to get to the noble part of journalism. Otherwise, you're just Judy Miller pulling blast faxes from the White House off the fax machine and typing up another story for tomorrow, saying, oh, Saddam has ice cream making machines cleverly designed that are actually uranium centrifuges, but and ice cream's only in the top. Stupid. No, they did that. They took the PR coming from the White House and said, we need a war. John McCain is out there today singing. Really? Oh, my God. I remember during the hostage crisis, some disc jockey somewhere karaoke'd up Barbara Ann and sang, oh, I was going to sing again, bomb, bomb, no, I'm not, bomb, 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 Iran, bomb, 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 Iran, and then the shrill, high, falsetto male voice sings, Obama ran, we'll take your land, we're going to rock your Ayatollah, sock your Ayatollah, bomb Iran. And boy, it sure was funny. No, funny is you remind me of a man, what man, the man with the power, the power of hoodoo, you do, do what, remind me of a man, the what man, the man with the power, that's funny. There is a guy who just happens to be a Republican who today manifesting his desire to occupy the most powerful formerly elected office in the world. He manifested that by singing, no better than I would have, bomb, 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 Iran. It's a joke to him. Iranian people are a joke to John McCain because, by God, that's who the bombs are going to land. It boggles my mind. 2,000-pound bombs. We're going to drop it on a guy who sells flowers on the corner of Aryan Way and Shia Avenue. It doesn't have anything to do with any nuclear weapons, but he's going to be killed, and we're going to call him collateral damage. Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. Our buddy Alan the Trucker writes in, he says, I do believe that these right-wingers believe that all college students other than the ones at Liberty University are liberals. That's why Neil Bortz and his type say the things they do. It seems like the Nazis and all fascist governments go after the educated. And you know what? There's so much truth in that, Alan, because, again, I take you back to what Michelle Malkin wrote. She said, big nanny administrators oversee speech codes, segregated dorms, politically correct academic departments, and designated safe spaces to protect students selectively from hurtful conservative opinions. That's what it boils down to. I think you're right, Alan. Now, Bortz knows that if he said something like that on the air, that it might get a little bit hot. But we tolerate it. Michelle Malkin's page that I'm reading this on has advertisements for Universal Orlando Big Family Fun and an ad for Netflix. Do you suppose Netflix knows that Michelle Malkin has asked, is it too early to ask what if those students had been armed? My God, we'd be talking about 100 dead and not 32. Because as Bart Kopp noted, you got a bunch of armed people and a gun goes off in Walmart. Aisle 5 shoots at aisle 7. Aisle 7 thinks there's a war going and shoots at aisle 9. And the next thing you know, you got 60 people dead in Walmart from people who had no idea what they were shooting about in the first place. Stunning. But anyway, where I was actually going. Yesterday... That paragon of American video journalism, Chris Matthews, interviewed one of the suite mates where Cho Sung-wee lived in the dorm. They had suites. Instead of just two people in a dorm room or whatever, it was a suite with a common room and rooms off the common room and a little bit more privacy that way. And a little bit more community as well. Six people to a suite. And they, in the course of interviewing this young man, Tweety Matthews, in the first clip, manifests his complete understanding of college life.
I never heard of a kid like that, did you? Have you ever heard of a person like that that wouldn't communicate at college? I mean, at college you try to get along with people. It's part of the experience to be social to some extent. Have you ever heard of a kid who wouldn't talk to you?
He's talking, oh my God, he's talking to the guy's suite mate who has just told him, you know, he wouldn't say anything. He never talked. I never heard of a kid who wouldn't talk. Well, yeah, I did, Chris, because I lived with him and then he shot my campus up. Yeah, at college, now this is a longer clip, and Agnes, do me a favor, please. Don't play it out of that. Open it in a different player, because I think we're going to have to start and stop this one. Don't yes sir me. Well, I'm going to keep talking. I'm watching to see if you can actually find it. But the media, I'll double your pay, honey. As soon as I get a raise. I'll pay you out of my own pocket as soon as I get my raise. This is journalism? I listened to this early this morning, and I've listened to it two or three times through the course of the day, and I still can't make it be journalism.
I have to tell you, Karan, I've never heard of anybody like this in my life. You mean he walked around without aspect like a zombie, and you guys didn't talk about him, you never told anybody about him, you never thought this was...
He walked around without aspect like a zombie. In other words, Chris, buddy, like a member of the, White House press corps? Afraid to ask a hard question of the Bush administration? Yeah, like that.
Karan, I've never heard of anybody like this in my life. You mean he walked around without aspect like a zombie, and you guys didn't talk about him, you never told anybody about him, you never thought this was really weird. You said weird. I think really weird. You never thought it was really weird that a guy was completely incommunicado with his own suite mates.
Wait a minute. You never thought it was weird? I don't think you thought it was weird enough, son. I think it's your fault. He's cross-examining this kid. Who the hell is Chris Matthews to define what's weird? This is a guy, when the bombing of Baghdad started, declared, "We're all neoconservatives now." That's psychotic!
Well, like I said in the beginning, I talked about him with my roommate because my roommate tried to communicate with him also. But we were never informed about his past problems,
yeah.
Seeing the counselor,
yeah.
Or having suicide thoughts.
Uh-huh.
If I was told about this, I'd probably be more cautious or try a little bit harder to be his friend. But
do you hear what this poor young man's going through? He's trying to defend himself against Chris Matthews.
I had no information about his past.
So the school administration never told you or your other suite mates that your suite mate was having psychological problems?
Pause.
That he was stalking a couple of fellow...
No, the administration didn't tell him because they're... God Almighty. What? Who... What's Chris Matthews' agenda here? First he's trying to blame the kid, now he's getting off on the administration. You mean they didn't tell you he was nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake? Chris, you moron, where is it you think that they were allowed to? How about we go and check out your medical and mental health history, Chris? Would you like that? Hell, your buddy Flush Flemball had to get the ACLU to come in and help try to save his records when he got busted for shopping around for street drugs.
Students, that he had these problems that at one point required that he be brought in for a while. We don't know how long, but you didn't know about any of this.
No, not at all. The university officials never told us. Ever, and he pretty much never conversed with any one of us. I pretty much did not know what his major was until yesterday. Talking to his roommate before that, I thought he was a business major, but I found out yesterday that he was an English major, which was pretty weird because when he didn't talk, I assumed, one of the things I assumed was that maybe he does not know how to converse in English too much.
Yeah, I thought that might explain to you fellas why he didn't talk, but you did believe he spoke English well enough to communicate.
Now,
you believe that?
In the beginning.
I don't know. Is this the producer's fault or is this Chris Matthews' fault? Who booked this? What graduate of the Draw the Parrot on the Matchbook School of Journalism thought that this was news? And then Chris Matthews goes, well, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm an award-winning journalist. Let me talk to him. Oh, God. More?
I believe that he did not know English too well.
Oh, so that's how you explain to yourselves that he wasn't talking to anybody.
Oh, that's...
That was one of the ways.
That's how you explain it to yourself. That's how you get to sleep at night, because this whole thing is your fault, kid. I mean, you can. That's where this freak Matthews is going with this. This guy gets Republicans on his program that are responsible for the mass murder of 750,000 Iraqi civilians, half of whom are women and children, and he's trying to take this kid over the coals because he didn't play quarter bounce with the murderer enough. Damn.
And then you find out the other day that he's an English major.
Wow!
Yeah, and it was really surprising that he wrote all those plays and was pretty fluent. I was surprised to find out that he moved to the United States in 92. I was assuming that he maybe came in the year that he moved into our suite last year in August.
Unbelievable. Let me ask you just about the usual things that college kids talk to each other about.
Oh, wait. Stop. Okay, Chris Matthews is now going to define for us the regular things that college students talk to each other about. You know, the new raccoon skin coat, going up for some bootleg bathtub gin in Daddy's Stutz Bearcat. Oh, God, I can't wait.
Did he ever have girl troubles? Did he ever come back looking especially miserable because he'd been shot down by a girl?
Wait!
Anything like
stop! He did. You heard it, and I heard it too. Chris Matthews just asked that young man, did he ever come back looking down in the dumps because he'd just been shot down by a girl? You know, we can even say dirty words on the internet. And with the occasional lapse of judgment on my part, mostly we don't. And we don't ask of a guy who just slaughtered 32 people and then killed himself. We don't generally ask, did he ever come back looking all hangdog because he'd just been shot down by a girl? Mother Muckree.
That occur to you?
No, most times he stayed in. like I said, I either saw him sitting down working on his laptop writing something, or sitting down watching TV in the lounge. If I came out late at night, he'd be sitting down next to the entrance just watching TV.
What did he watch?
Sounds to me like he was observing the lifestyle advocated by those folks who put on purity balls, doesn't it?
On Friday nights, he used to watch wrestling pretty regularly. And other times, I just saw him watch Spike TV game shows.
Okay, let's ask about that. Let me get into this video game thing. Do you know anything about Counter-Strike as a video game?
Wait. We are now 3 minutes and 7 seconds into this interview. He's asked him about girl troubles, why he didn't communicate. They've both expressed shocked, I tell you, to find out that the young man was an English major. Not a word about a firearm. Not a word.
Was he into it?
But I never saw him play any video games on his computer. Most times, like I said, he just wrote on his computer. He had a Word document open, and he just kept on typing away for sometimes.
Yeah, he just wrote. He had a Word document open. Anybody ever see The Shining?
You know, I would see him typing at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I would come back at 12, and he would still be there.
And he was writing in English?
Yes.
So, no, you doofus, he was writing in Sanskrit. God!
You did believe he was conversant in English. He just wasn't a good speaker of English, you thought.
Well, once I saw him...
Objection! Ask him answered!
English, you know, I thought maybe he just does not want to talk to any of us. Because he never showed... When I said hi to him, he never showed as if he did not want to talk to me, or a disgust on his face, or, you know... anger. He just did not have any expression. He looked away. So that just showed me that he was really shy, not dangerous in any way at all.
You're a very tolerant young man. You know, I would have said that if I had a roommate or a suite mate in college who was that weird, as you put it, who never communicated, you'd say, let's go out for dinner tonight, or let's go to a...
You're a very tolerant young man. If I had a guy that was that weird and was my suite mate... Where did Chris Matthews go to college? Yeah, we'd have gone out to dinner and a movie. Jesus God. Okay, go on.
Movie, or let's go to this social thing, or let's go to a club. You guys were never inclined to say that to him because you assumed he'd always say nothing, right?
We just assumed he would say nothing, since he never even told us his name, really. The only way I knew his name was his name posted on his door.
Wait a minute.
The RA.
He never really told us his name most... Did you hear that? And Chris Matthews guffawed. He never really told us his name. Did you hear that? How much... You know, what does Chris Matthews make a year? I would have taken him out to a club. We would have gone to a club. Perhaps had some, Harvey Wallbangers. These people are divorced from reality. This guy, Chris Matthews, has no idea whatsoever of what Blacksburg, Virginia looks like. I know what Blacksburg, Virginia looks like. I've been to Blacksburg, Virginia. We would have gone out to a club. I say, old boy, get your dancing shoes on and your tuxedo. We're going out to a club. Just a minute, and I'll have Higgins bring round the limo. You want a beer? My daddy's rich. Go.
Do you guys have any choice in your roommates at Virginia Tech? I mean, it seems like he would be the last guy drawn on the list.
Now he's going to indict this young man for picking this guy as his roommate. What? Yes, Agnes.
How would you know? I mean, what would have kept him from choosing him? when you first come to
college.
Well,
we're gonna find out here. But the question there is, did you choose him? Why would you choose him? He's crazy. Why would you want to associate yourself with a crazy guy who won't even speak to you?
Well, I want to know where the dean is in all of this, because quite honestly, having a student interrogated that way, that's not journalistic activity.
No,
that's a wannabe
lawyer. There were network flacks flying hither and thither all over the campus of Virginia Tech in the last couple of... Hey, kid, come here. You want to be on TV? Yeah.
But that's one of his mates. And if I remember right, if something tragic happened, say your roommate died in a car accident or something, the people who were dorm mates of that person got an A for the semester and they went away.
I don't know. I'm sure
that
makes sense.
That was one of the policies. So here this young man is. He's just gone through hell and back, and you've got Tweety sitting there trying to play, you know, the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon with him. What's the problem?
Well, let's roll on. Here's the problem. It turns out they had no control over who their suite mates were, of course.
We can choose our roommates who live in the room with us, but if you don't choose one, it's random assignment. But you cannot pick your suite mates. So most of us in the suite, we were there by random choice. We didn't pick our roommates.
Did you ever wonder why you got him?
Did you ever?
As a suite mate?
Did you ever wonder why Paris is in France, or why the sky's blue, or why ice is cold? What? An existential moment with Chris Matthews.
Not really. I just thought, in a suite,
no.
You have much more privacy than regular dormitories where you just have one hallway with doors. So that kind of explained to me why he might choose a suite rather than a regular dormitory.
If you had to be a psychiatrist right now, how would you explain what happened here?
Wait. Is this the... Wait. He's been to the Barbara Walters School of Journalism. If you were a twee, what kind of twee would you be?
I'm totally in disbelief that he was capable of doing this. He just seemed very lonely most of the times. I didn't think he was capable of anything violent at all. I saw him started going to the gym recently, so I guess he was trying to take care of himself more. But he did not seem like a guy who had a death wish.
Did he seem like he was trying to get more buff to be more appealing to girls? Did you see that? Or did you see anything like that, a romantic frustration in him?
Oh my God. Was he trying to get more buff? I can't stand any more of that. Was he buff? Was he trying to get buff? Did you ever oil him down? Anyway, and that's just, you know, that's just a few minutes of it. He went on and on and on and on. Did you ever see a gun? Did you ever see a box of ammo? But even that question is pointless. What you just heard is proof positive of the stupidity of the 24-hour news cycle. Well, Chris, you're going to interview one of his suite mates because they've got the other suite mate over on CNBC. There's another suite mate over on CNN, and Glenn Beck is interviewing the garbage can. Can't I have the sink? This is... Okay, it's over. You won't have to listen to anymore. Agnes refuses to play anymore.
That's right.
We got news coming up, and you know, boy, am I glad. There's other stuff going on in the world we can talk about, too. And you're welcome to do so. I'm just a little bit thunderstruck by it. Because, like I said, that's about the fifth time I've heard that today, and I've tried to make some... I sat there and tried to think, is there... I searched for, any legitimate reason, any proper journalistic purpose for any of that line of inquiry. I struck out. Maybe in the same or similar circumstances, I would have behaved just as Chris Matthews. But I don't think so. He was told that he had X amount of minutes that he had to fill with this young man. And so he went, I would have taken him out to a club. Tell me about the club scene. Tell me about the club scene in Blacksburg, son! Well, I'm a student. I don't have a bunch of money, Mr. Matthews. What? You're not there on your trust fund? Jiminy. Did you ever invite him to a kegger? Maybe if you'd taken him somewhere that they had some grain alcohol punch, you could have gotten him laid and this never would have happened. Our buddy Phil in Daytona's right. Turn the damn thing off. There's nothing to be had there. There's no there there. There's something here. And that's the news. And this is the horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid, and if I was a twee, I'd be a, I don't know, a damson plum.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House offered fresh support for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez after his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. Gonzalez told lawmakers he played only a small role in the dismissal of 8 federal prosecutors. However, a second Republican joined the call for Gonzalez to step down. Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn said, quote, "The best way to put this behind us is your resignation." Former classmates of the Virginia Tech gunman who killed 32 people Monday are speaking out. They say Cho Sung-hui was pushed around and laughed at as a schoolboy. NBC News is being criticized for airing parts of the rambling diatribe Cho included in a package he sent to the company. Some victims' family members are upset with the media for showing the images. Fox News has said it would stop airing the video, while NBC and other networks say they'll severely limit its use. Defense Secretary Robert Gates stopped in Iraq today. During the visit, he reminded the Iraqis that the American public's patience with the war is running out. Gates said he'd like to see faster progress. He announced the unannounced stop in Iraq was his third visit to the country since he became defense secretary. In Baghdad today, 12 people were killed by a suicide car bomber. More than 230 people were killed in violence yesterday. It was one of the deadliest days since the Iraq war began. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said today that the war in Iraq, quote, is lost. Citing the extreme violence in Iraq this week, he added that the U.S. security crackdown is not accomplishing anything. Reid said he told the president the same thing when he met with him yesterday. Reid was part of a bipartisan group that tried but failed to come to a consensus on the emergency spending bill to fund the Iraq war. In Bucharest, parliament members voted to suspend Romanian President Traian Băsescu for unconstitutional conduct. Lawmakers accused Băsescu of provoking political crisis and slowing reforms. And the European Union has agreed to an anti-racism law to deal with racial prejudice and the denial of the Holocaust. To win the approval of the 27 member countries, the law was weakened from its original proposals. New Hampshire's governor says he will sign a bill that makes civil unions legal in that state. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Health officials say there'll be a record 132 million doses of the flu vaccine in the U.S. in preparation for the upcoming flu season. However, that supply is still short. Federal guidelines say there are 218 million Americans who should get the vaccine. A human rights group accuses Yahoo of assisting China's communist government with torturing its citizens by turning over information that led to the arrest of dissidents. The group plans to file a lawsuit. The popular online hangout, MySpace.com, has introduced a feature that allows users to recommend news stories to each other. And eBay posted a 52% increase in quarterly profits and a 27% increase in revenue. The online auction company credited steady growth in sales and a boost in overseas business. Google's first quarter profit also rose. It jumped 69%. The California search engine company reported earning $1 billion during the first 3 months of the year. The Federal Reserve meets again on May 9th. Economists expect the Fed to leave interest rates unchanged. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.75 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 5 points, the Nasdaq down 5, and the S&P down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. To the phones we go. And our good buddy Bob calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, but, you know, I have to... I have to remind you. I mean, you're a journalist, a journalism man. You're a guy that deals with the.
I have done journalism.
Yes, and you kind of understand, you know, how to look into subjects and delve into them. But sometimes it's easy to get led astray. And if you look at what's going on with this Tweety Bird. Okay, I won't even say the name because I'm so disgusted at that pudgy little thing that sits there and attacks the victim. But if you remember, this is a general tactic of the right wing of these neo-Nazi, neo-conservative, neo whatever, fascists, whatever you want to call them. They always turn whatever issue into an attack on the victims, those that were closely associated or had even any knowledge of this person, and they attack that person.
You know what, Bob? There's more truth in what you say than maybe you're thinking of immediately, because I didn't catch this hour's top news. But in the last hour's top of the hour news, there was some mention that some American politician is or has gone to Iraq to remind the Iraqis that the Americans' patience is growing short.
Secretary of State, I think.
Yeah, to the same extent that Neil Bortz is blaming the people who got shot.
Yes. That's exactly
the Bush administration is now blaming Iraq for the hell that we started.
You can remember, if you remember back to, what was that, Anita Hill, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that, those hearings, and how they attacked the victim. And they turned on the person. They always do, and they use it as a tactic. It is a, it's a perfect tactic, because if you think about it.
Attack, and therefore never.
And destroy their will to resist. And if you continue to do it long enough, you can break any human being down. You were talking early in the program about how these young people were being attacked because they did not attack their attacker. But I'll give you some real, true United States Marine combat veteran knowledge, okay?
All right.
As a Marine, and a Marine sergeant, and a training sergeant, one that trained Marines how to react, we had to take young people from the community, from your community, every other community, and break them down, destroy them as a human being, make them into something else, something that would react when ordered to and react without hesitation and without thought. And that takes 6 to 8 months of hard training, and you have to break that individual's will. You have to totally strip him of himself and turn him into something else. And that's one thing that the United States Marine Corps is just known for across this globe, that we can take sweet, young, innocent young men and women from the streets, from your communities, from your colleges, and turn them into killing machines. Well, these young people, these 18 and 19-year-olds, had never been under any kind of training. They had no idea how to react when confronted, because their parents have always taught them to treat each other with respect and give each person their space, and they didn't know how to do these things that Bortz or Tweety Bird or any of these right-wingers are trying to accuse them of doing. And they're not cowards. They're just untrained individuals. And I am saddened that this nation is so stupid as to listen to that right-wing garbage, because all it is that. It's garbage, Bob. And it is that. It is attack the victim.
Well, can I don't want to go any bad places, Bob.
Okay.
But what would have been required? I mean, Neil Bortz and Michelle Malkin and all these right wing punks. There's a line in Shakespeare about the people who would be tug the beard of the lion or something like that. Meaning. They have no guts of their own. You said it takes 6 to 8 months to get a person in a position to do something like that.
You've got to destroy them individually. You have to take them and turn them into something else. And one of the first things that you do with a recruit in recruit training is totally strip him of the fact that he had a family. You tell him, I will be your mama, I will be your papa, I am your drill instructor, and I will, and I am it. There's nothing else. And if I want to, I can kill you right here, stick you in a bag, send you home to your mama and tell them, or just dump you in that ditzy dumpster over there, have them bury you in a landfill, and send a note to your mama and tell her that you deserted and that you're a deserter. And you just scare the living crap out of them. Then you break them down to where the point is where either they weep or they look you in the eye and they say, kill me, SOB. I don't care anymore. And when you see that look in their eye, you know you got yourself a budding young Marine. And now you can train him to react in a combat situation. And you can ask any Marine drill instructor how he breaks the individual down, because once that green will just stir him and just get that hate and that just that ugly, I want to kill you look in his eye, the first thing you do is you look at him and say, you eyeballing me, boy? Are you eyeballing me? You better get them eyeballs someplace else. And the eyeballs go directly to a point somewhere beyond you, over your shoulder, 1,000 yards away. And it never changes, Bob. You train them to kill, and the only way you can train someone to kill is to make him so, break him down, destroy his individuality, and turn him into a United States Marine. When you do that, you take away part of him. He'll never be the same again. And these kids that are being demonized by these SOBs, these right-wing draft-dodging, cyst-bearing, what do you call them, four-effers or whatever they were during the day, like Dick Cheney. He can shoot his lawyer friend in the face and then run and hide from the cops until he sobers up. And, you know, you just go on and on and on. The list is long and distinguished of how many of these. But their tactic is always the same. Blame the victim. They blame that poor attorney for being shot.
He had to come out and apologize for getting in the way of Dick Cheney's bird shot.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. He had to come out and say, oh, gee, Dick, I'm sorry I let you shoot me in the face. See, but that's what they do. And it's a constant. I mean, and until the American populace as a whole, or as a majority, realizes what they're doing to you with this Tweety Bird stuff, attacking that young man like he did, he should be horsewhipped for it. Right on air, they should just rip his shirt off and just put a cat of nine tails to him. I mean, just whip that fat little pudgy big mouth talking head. I mean, just think about it, Bob. How sick do you have to be to attack this young man?
Oh, I know. And again, in the top of the hour news, Bob, we had mentioned that, you know, some of the families are complaining that NBC showed some of the tape. And yet the families, I guess maybe the families haven't heard that their children were called wussies.
I know that, Bob. I know that. And it's sick and it's sad. And I hope that the call that you made out there and you asked the listening, that you're listening public, the public that listens to you around the world, to get in touch with this computer company and just call their representatives, write this email, send it, folks. Do it not for yourself, but for these young men and women that have been demonized by this. I don't know. I don't even want to say it anymore. I'm sick of saying, you know, what they are. I'm sick of them, Bob. I'm so sick of them. I'm not like Malloy hates them. I can't hate them. I cannot afford to hate them, but I'm just sick of them. And I want them to go away. I want them to become that minuscule part of the population that they really are. That 23 or 20% of those right-wing, fascist, racist, sick Ku Kluxers and those John Birchers. And you were saying, what kind of a twee would I be? What I would be, I knew you wouldn't be a Bircher. And I knew, I couldn't see you as a dancing plum, but you know what I see you as, Bob?
What's that?
A mighty oak. A white oak standing in the forest, holding back the wind so that those walnut trees and those beautiful, beautiful mahogany trees and the brown trees with the beautiful brown wood, the cherry trees and all the sweet wood can stand, because you hold back the wind, and it takes a mighty wind to take down a white oak. It takes a real strong wind. And Bob, I hold you dear to me, and I build in this house using white oak, strong and sturdy. And that's what you are. You are no dancing plum.
Thank you, Bob.
And you ain't no weeping willow either.
No.
You're a strong man and a good man and a voice that I appreciate.
I'm darn sure not a magnolia or a mimosa.
And you're not one of them cottonwoods, like I think of them whitey little pasty face, the Tweety boys in those, you know, even Michelle Malcolm's just one of them cottonwoods. The wind comes along and snaps. It's just soft and pudgy and white inside.
And nothing in the middle.
They're
hollow.
No strength. There's no strength to them.
And that's the thing. That, you know, your Chris Matthews's, those type of people, they're hollow in the middle. And the thing is, they make a big noise if you thump on them.
Well, yeah.
But there's nothing to them.
Drum, if you beat on a bass drum, but it's just full of hot air or cold air or just empty air, but it's empty space between their ears, Bob. See,
yeah.
You think with your heart and with your mind, and somewhere right in the middle of that heart and that mind, there's something that I know is there, and it's soul. It's what I have from my soul brothers, my ebony brothers, my strong, beautiful black ebony brothers. But they're not black, Bob. They're a beautiful color, and I think of them, and I love them, and I care about them, and I swear in my center of my being, that any of these racist, filthy, repiglicked creeps, these cretins, will never, ever break this oak until they blow real hot air across me. And they ain't got it done yet. And it's good. Hey, they can take me down. That's no problem.
Stand tall, Bob. I've got to roll along, but
all right,
stand
well,
tall.
Peace to you and to my brown and black and yellow brothers. And red brothers, and all my brothers of this earth that believe in this planet. It's raining in North Dakota right now, and I always see the rain as tears from heaven coming down here to give Mother Earth a drink. And it's time that the earth wakes up, and we wake up, and we stand like the oaks we are, with our walnut brothers and all those other trees out there that strong and healthy and wealthy and, well, maybe not so wealthy, because some of them are poor and they need us to hold them up and lift them up.
Yep.
And with that, my friend, I will say good night and good luck.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And to Japan and our good friend Robert. Robert, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning to you.
Doing okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. It was this little TV fest that seems to be going on and on and on. But one of the comments I wanted to make was that at the end of the day, this guy was not really Korean. He was more American than he was Korean. He had been in the States since he was 8, I think, right?
That is, oh my goodness, that's profound, Robert.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And yet, I've got a story here about him. What is being reported is that once upon a time he was called to speak publicly in class, and when he did, it's just disgusting that his classmates. This goes back to high school.
Mm-hmm.
It says that once in English class in high school, the teacher had the students read aloud, and when it was Cho's turn, he just looked down in silence, and the witness recalled that after the teacher threatened to give him a failing grade for participation, Cho started to read in a strange, deep voice that sounded like he had something in his mouth. And this, the witness reports, quote, "As soon as he started reading, the whole class started laughing and pointing and saying, 'Go back to China.'"
Oh, okay. Well,
he was more American than he was Korean, Robert. You are so absolutely correct.
Right. Well, my boss actually showed the video yesterday of Mr. Cho's speech, or whatever you want to call it, to his Japanese students. And one Japanese student raised his hand and said, "I can relate to him, because he was in Canada at the time, and he had the same thing happen to him." but Japanese students and at the end of the day, Korean students, the real ones, they're never going to do this. I mean, they'll commit suicide before they end up killing anybody. In fact, I just read yesterday, we had one student, I think a junior high school student or maybe a elementary school, end up jumping off a building. And this is a monthly, if not twice monthly, event here. So,
what?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of repressed anger and a lot of bullying that goes on, or there's a lot of poor self-esteem, and so in this society, you end up committing suicide much more than you would ever commit homicide.
Is that because it's a determination that there's something wrong with the self,
as opposed
to the culture, or
yeah? I mean, so if the teacher yells at him, we've had students that would just jump off the building. But at the end of the day, Bob, I mean, the responsibility for all of this is the parent, you know, because it's the parents who put in the seeds of self-confidence, the parents that put in the seeds of self-esteem, the parents put in the seeds of nonviolence and peace, right? I mean,
yeah.
I sit down with my own kids and read books, my own books, the fables to them, and have discussions, and so then I know exactly what's going on inside their head, you know. So, I mean, if you wanted to point a finger of blame, don't look at the courts, don't look at the university, just, you know, look at the parents a little bit longer, because they should have seen it coming. But the blame doesn't get you anywhere at the end of the day. It doesn't solve the problem. But
no, and I guess I hope that it's not a matter of people seeing or hearing me as assessing blame when I talk about the easy access to firearms.
Well, see, this is the other problem. See, Bob, we send 8 students from our university, because we have a sister relationship with ODU University in Norfolk, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling my boss yesterday, I said, we're going to really have to advertise the hell out of this, because a lot of students and their parents will say no. Virginia, guns, death, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have to really work overtime just to get people to show up even to sign, you know, for the interviews and, you know, see if they actually want to go. Because this is a big problem. And, you know, at the end of the day, nobody here understands why you have assault weapons that you can legally buy, or just guns like this. We don't have any guns here. The one time I saw that idiot Bill O'Reilly actually eat crow on camera, when I guess there was another shooting incident, and he pointed out that at that time there were 10 handgun deaths in Japan, and I think that, and then he said there was 10,000 in the United States. I don't know. I mean,
well, I heard the other day that the rate of gun deaths in the United States is 200 times that of Japan. I mean, the entire Japanese nation is reeling over the assassination of the mayor of Nagasaki. Is it not?
I mean, yeah. It's the only people that have guns here are the gangsters, the Yakuza,
mm-hmm.
and the Yakuza function. Out in the open, they have their offices. They have recruiting drives. You know, and the police are actually indeed afraid of them, if you can bend your mind around that. And they operate with a wink and a nod from the LDP government, the conservatives. And so the conservatives have actually allowed the Yakuza to function, because if you think about it, conservatives in every country have some kind of relationship with organized crime, do they not?
Pretty much, yeah.
And, I mean, even I think when Bush took over, one of his first acts was to allow companies to bid that had been outlawed and banned, they had broken the law.
Right.
To allow these people to actually engage in public contracts again.
You're right.
And so, you know, the Republicans, I mean, they're just as much, I mean, in the States, they're just as, their ties to organized crime, well, hell, they are organized crime. If you think about it, at the end of the day.
Sure, our good friend Mike Malloy refers to them as the Bush crime family.
Yeah, exactly. So when Prime Minister Abe was, you know, showing his indignation about this, I was just laughing. I said, my God, you idiot. like, you know, and it's this bluster. And what are you going to do at the end of the day? You're going to shut these people down? You're going to close their offices? I mean, the mobsters?
Mm-hmm.
No, of course not. He's going to end up doing nothing. So,
but and Robert, bear in mind, that's what we're going to do here.
Oh, yeah, and that's why I was so angry, Bob, when I listened to this crap, this hand-wringing, this endless hand-wringing, ring, and you know, and the endless showing of the videos, which one of their CNN's prime, they had a crime victim specialist come on. He said, you should not be showing this video, these videos, again and again, because it would help others to, you know, copycat it and it would motivate others. And I woke up again this morning, and they're showing it again and again. And so they don't care about responsibility. You know, they care about ratings, and that's about it. And so if it does kill, I mean, if it does cause someone else to kill, then fine. You know, it's been,
we're still Robert. We're still watching footage of the Hindenburg go down. We're still watching footage of the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
About the only thing they ever toned down was the Challenger blowing up.
Yeah. I mean, it's just endless. And so, and at the end of the day, it's not going to lead to any change. I mean, you're not going to have gun laws. You're not going to have, you know, assault weapons taken out. I mean, it's just, so why go through this?
Well, the majority, I don't know if you caught this or not, I was halfway afraid to touch the story last night because I was afraid I was just going to scream myself hoarse. The Senate Majority Leader, Democrat, Harry Reid of Nevada, his first statement was to come out and say, well, this is a darn shame what happened in Blacksburg, but let's not run out there and blame the guns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's tell me if I'm wrong. There's been mention that maybe antidepressant medication had something to do with it. Okay, we'll do something about that. We'll eliminate 1 out of 10 of these massacres. Okay, maybe video games had something to do with it. All right, that'll eliminate 2 out of 10. So we've eliminated 30% of these massacres. Listened to violent music. Okay, well, that's going to get another one. So now we've eliminated 40% of these massacres. But we guarantee, by virtue of the fact that handguns, which have no other purpose. I mean, you know, I guess there's a few people out there. I knew a guy once who had a scope on a .357 Magnum long barrel, and he went hunting for the bobcats out west with it or something. But you know, handguns don't exist for hunting.
No.
Target shooting with handguns, not so much. So, you know, what I'm getting at is, you know, if you eliminate all those extraneous things, you've still got about 60% of these massacres that go on because people can get the weapons with which to do them.
Right, right.
I mean, is that crazy?
It's crazy. And, you know, I don't have to worry about that. I mean, we do have... I think.
No, you've got a much greater chance of, frankly, something disastrous happening by virtue of the shifting of tectonic plates under the home islands, than you do of dying by some sort of gun violence where you are.
Oh yeah, I mean, even here in Japan, on Kitakyushu, we don't have any fault lines, so we don't have to worry about that. But but you know, at the end of the day, the problem is that there is 2 or 3 or 4% of every university population that have people like this. And even in my own university, we had two incidences that came up recently. One was that my colleague, who's right across the hall from me, Japanese woman, had her office broken into and some school papers taken out. Now, her office is on the fourth floor, and this was done at nighttime, and the ledge is only 1 foot wide. And so the police came in, they said only 4 people in this city of 1 million people could actually have the talent to do this. But then they couldn't explain why the thief didn't take the digital camera and the computer and or whatever, and only the school papers. It was a student. And so when I went to talk to her the next day, and she was complaining that her heater wasn't working, I looked in the back of it, and there were 3 aerosol cans that were stuck in the back of it, so that when she turned on the heater would explode and kill her. So I said, I told her, I think someone's trying to kill you. And so then, you know, dozens of police came back and long investigation. They had a good suspect, but they didn't have enough proof that that he was, you know, he was actually trying to kill her. So nothing happened. But at the end of the day, it was a sexual thing, and then also she made him do a presentation. He didn't want to do a presentation. So, but, you know, I mean, it's the issue of, like, well, these people are in every single school system. My wife teaches at the elementary school and the and before the junior high school. And she says in sixth grade and definitely in the junior high school, the classrooms are chaotic. Now, this is Japan, rigid Japan, where the junior high school students wear Prussian uniforms, black Prussian uniforms from 1912. Kid you not. Discipline, 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 and they're out of control.
Wow.
And one of the reasons they're out of control is because the parents come home at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. They have no time to interact with their children. Nobody's talking with their children. They're talking to their children. They don't, at the end of the day, give a damn about their children. And so we periodically have problems with children actually killing other children. So we've had one problem maybe 10 years ago in Kobe, another problem in Nagasaki. These people are everywhere. I even had a student 2 years ago that had carried a hunting knife and was, you know, suicidal, had pointed it at his throat. But, you know, if these people had had guns, something would have happened. Something, it would have been a different case.
So the potential is there. It's just the means of accomplishing it is available.
Different, yeah. I mean, if you had taken if there was no assault weapons or guns, clocks, you know, and this Mr. Cho had only a knife, the damage he could have done, maybe one or two students or three students. It's going to be harder to kill people with a knife.
Or a ball bat, or a shovel, or
exactly,
or frankly, with a full on assault rifle, because you tuck the handguns in your backpack and you go for your half mile walk to the engineering building. On the other hand, it's kind of hard to take a long gun and not be noticed.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is the tip of the iceberg, and
that's what I was getting at earlier, Robert. This is the deal with the devil that we have made in this country. We are willing to say, thank the, you know, the NRA and others, they say tacitly by their agenda that, you know, Mr. and Mrs. America, that darling child that is in your arms right now that you're going to raise to maturity and send to college, we as the NRA are willing to say that it's okay to blow that kid away.
Mm-hmm.
So long as we keep our right to keep an arm bears, or bear arms,
or call him a wussy if he doesn't go after the gun, you know, the people.
Yeah, sure.
Shoot him.
Exactly. And you know, nothing's going to change. I mean, really, let's be straight up about this.
Nothing
is going to change. But I would like to have a little bit of honesty. I would like to make Wayne LaPierre, who is the head of the NRA, stand up and say, America, we think the right to own a gun with a banana clip in it is more important than your child's life.
Yep.
And that ain't going to happen either.
No. Conservatives hate change, you know that. I mean, I'm in a society where we still don't have fluoride in the water. Because conservatives don't understand that. We don't have water fountains in the school system because conservatives don't have the imagination to imagine that. And I mean, I can go on and on and on and on because they just don't. They have tiny, tiny little imagination.
And the thing is, that's the paradise that American conservatives would like to build.
Yeah. And it blows me away. It just blows me. Well, sorry for the pun.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No, the university system from where I'm in and where I should be going to very soon is so different from the American system. Kids do not have Mercedes to drive around. And they don't have, you know, these necklaces and stuff like that. So I can understand some of this. I mean, in Japan, in order to buy a car, you have to have a parking space, and you cannot buy a car until you prove that you have that parking space. And so houses usually have one parking space, so the sons and daughters don't get a car, much less a BMW. There's none of this elitism that goes on in Japanese universities. So we don't have that. So when we do send our students over there, they're going into a completely alien world. And unfortunately, our culture know, the culture here does teach students to be reserved and shy. I just had to interview two students for in the space satellite laboratory that's on our university, and we were going to send them to China for the International Space Program that's being hosted. Last year it was in France. And one of my questions was, you know, can you raise your hand in a big group with international students and ask a question or to put forth a comment or a controversial opinion? And the two students I interviewed were just kind of just shook with fear. It's like, oh, I can't. Well, you know, yes, you know. It just couldn't give me a direct answer on that. And that's because it's the product of the culture and the educational system here. And so, yeah, we need to change our students to be a little bit more interactive and less shy. But look, Bob, I had a problem, as I was telling Agnes, when I was a child. I couldn't pronounce my R's and L's. And so my joke was I must have been Japanese my former life. So I couldn't pronounce my own name, Robert Long, right? I couldn't pronounce it. And so for 5 or 6 years in elementary school, I was isolated and shunned. And I, you know, it was misery of misery, misery, just with that tiny little speech problem. But you know, if you have a good family life, and your parents talk with you and talk, you know, instead of to you, talk with you, it's okay. But in the Asian society, the parents don't understand that. They do the minimal, basic custodial care, feed, talk to the children, if that, and that's it. So. There's a lot of change that needs to go on, but one of the changes, I think, is, you know, to take the BMWs away from the kids, and, you know, because I don't think a university student needs a BMW in the first place. So, but I got to get off to school.
And a very good day to you, Robert. Thank you for your thoughts.
Okay. You take care.
You have a very good morning.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Before we go to the next call, I just want it's begun, and this is a reader. Dateline Boulder, Colorado, from the Associated Press. And again, when I say it's begun, the repercussions of this event in Blacksburg have begun. Now, bear in mind, again, we're not going to talk about guns. We've made our deal with the devil, and somebody out there is going to be grieving and mourning a child because we can't talk about the interrelationship of easy access to high capacity handguns as a cause. We can't even talk about it as a cause of this horror. A University of Colorado student pleaded not guilty Wednesday to making comments that classmates deemed sympathetic toward the gunman blamed for killing 32 students and himself at Virginia Tech, authorities said. During a class discussion Tuesday of Monday's massacre at Virginia Tech, Max Carson, quote, made comments about understanding how someone could kill 32 people, University Police Commander Brad Weasley said. Several witnesses told investigators Carson, who turns 22 on Thursday, today, that said he was, quote, angry about all kinds of things, from the fluorescent light bulbs to the unpainted walls, and it made him angry enough to kill people, according to a police report. Witnesses, quote, said they were afraid of him and afraid to come to class with him, Weasley said. Carson of Denver was arrested Tuesday on a misdemeanor charge of interfering with staff, faculty, or students of an education institution. His father, Michael Carson, told the Cameron newspaper that the comments may have been misinterpreted and questioned whether his son's free speech rights had been violated. I would have hoped that state officials would know their First Amendment better than they seem to. At Oregon's Lewis and Clark College, another student was detained by campus police on Wednesday, shortly before a vigil for the Virginia Tech victims, when he was spotted wearing an ammunition belt. Portland police later determined that it was a fashion accessory made of spent ammunition, and said the man did not have a weapon. The belt, however, was confiscated. So there you are. There you are. My God, I don't know. Maybe they'll come for me in a minute. Because I read you the story off of the wires from the young woman who described the story of how when he was called upon to read in high school and was so shy he could barely stand to do so, that when he did read, his fellow students guffawed at him and laughed and hollered, "Go back to China." Our friend Robert is very much correct. This young man's behavior was far more American than anything Korean. Far more. Far more. And now for a young man in the University of Colorado to say, "Look, there's lots of stuff that pisses me off. Makes me mad enough to kill." And suddenly, the dude's got the cuffs on him, and he's being charged with interfering with staff, faculty, or students of an education institution. Now, we will continue to have the public orgy on the airwaves, and Tweety Matthews will continue to ask questions. Well, why didn't you talk to him more? Oh, so you didn't talk, and he creeped you out? Is that right? Oh, you should have taken him to a club or a movie or out to dinner. Maybe you could have all sorted it out over some creme brulee. And we're going to have this again. Why in the hell are we acting like we are shocked by what happened in Blacksburg? We are a nation designed for things like Columbine and Blacksburg. It's not because we're not in church enough. In the letter that Cho Sung-wi wrote, he made note of what had been done to him, or at least reference the way he had been treated by the followers of Jesus Christ. It's not because we're not in church enough. Maybe the video games have something to do with it. Maybe the medicine has something to do with it. Maybe booze has something to do with it. Somewhere right now, right now, right now, a guy is beating the dickens out of his wife or his girlfriend or his kids in America. And it's not because he's not in church enough. You know how I know that? Tell you how I know that. Dateline Selmer, Tennessee. A Tennessee jury on Thursday found Mary Winkler guilty of voluntary manslaughter in the shotgun killing of her husband. Mary Winkler was the wife of a paragon of the community, an upstanding, fine Church of Christ minister. ...33-year-old mother of three girls got a shotgun out and shot her husband at point-blank range in the back. And when he looked up and said, "Why?" she said, "Sorry." Really? No kidding. In the trial, And if you go to Tennessean.com, you might still get to see the photograph of her holding something sort of tribble-like in a plastic bag and a pair of what can only be described as hooker sandals sitting on the witness stand. You know, white plastic thing across the instep, about 5-inch heels. Agnes says tacky. But this upstanding follower of Christ Jesus, her husband, according to testimony, used that self-same 12-gauge shotgun, pointed it at her, and demanded that she put on the wig and the high heels in order to have what Mary Winkler described under oath on the stand as unnatural sex with him. And you get the idea, she's not talking about he wanted to do it somehow besides the missionary position. Blacksburg and Columbine and all the others will happen again and again and again and again and again and again and again in America for one reason. And one reason only. Handguns. That's it. Dude may be crazy, whacked out of his mind on SSRIs and become homicidal. If he does and he's got a knife, he's going to stab somebody. But he's not going to use a knife in America. He's going to go to one of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of gun stores. And he's going to do what Cho Sung Wee did. He's going to put the gun on his Visa card and know that he's never going to have to pay for it. And lots of ammunition. And maybe a few extra clips. 19 rounds at a time, or 17, or 15. And somebody's precious baby girl, somebody's precious darling boy, is going to lay on a classroom floor with their lifeblood running out in rivulets, unrecognizable from the loved one that they had been when they left for school. And it's going to be because we have made handguns our God. Make no mistake. Yeah, I said God. We worship them. Anybody who gives as much devotion to a firearm as the NRA and its freakish members and the gun owners of America and their freakish members, yeah, they are idolaters of the classic sense, and what they worship are tools of death and destruction. I take no joy in telling you it will happen again. I'm no prophet. I am a realist. That's all. To the phones, and David calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are
I'll
you?
Make this real quick. Two movie recommendations. I just saw yesterday a movie, Last King of Scotland, with Forrest Whitaker. Idi Amin, based on Idi Amin's life. Really good pictorial, but, you know, it always suffers. It never fails. It always suffers that they got to throw in the art house Caucasian implementation, where they take a story and they go, you know what, we need to have a white doctor be a friend or a savior to Idi Amin. And that's what they did in the film, and then the director even said, was saying, well, we even thought we'd include him with one of his wives, and I was like, oh my God! I mean, this is a lot of people don't notice these things, but if you look in a lot of movies and a lot of history, we always have to insert ourselves in where we weren't in the first place. Just something I noticed on that.
Because there's no historical background for it.
Right, there's no historical background at all. And they said, well, and then they make excuses for it. And they say, well, we thought that it would kind of tie together with a background of one of his wives and the story.
Well, you know, the same thing kind of happened in The Lord of the Rings with the elevation of the Liv Tyler role.
Right.
She was a bit player at best in the books, but she gets elevated. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Right, and you know, the same thing happened with a lot of the movies like The Last Emperor or whatever it was called with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I forget, The Last Warrior or something. Anyways, and then the other movie I was going to recommend was Robert Moog's documentary. Very impressive, an interesting bit on the electronic vibrations of the universe, the tie together of the musical instrument, and it's about 70 minutes, so I recommend that. Now, the big topic that I want to talk about today was the Cho Sung-hui thing. Basically, I'll say this, is that everyone is to blame who berated this guy constantly, and the teachers who said, get out of my classroom, instead of talking to him. And my thing is, I don't look at the handguns as the problem, I look at it as the bullets as the problem. The bullets are the problem. It's like, you ask someone why you have to have lethal bullets in this country, and they won't have an answer for you. They'll just get exhausted and go, what are you talking about? You know?
Of course you have to have lethal bullets. It's going in a lethal gun.
Yeah, it's like what Chris Rock said, make every bullet cost $10,000. Nobody would be shooting. Nobody would be instantly shooting up houses and people. And, you know, I just think the whole thing with the Cho Sung-hui thing is that we need to look at the bigger issue is that, again, nobody talked to him. He was an outsider kid.
He was isolated.
Right, he was isolated. And also, the other thing that people got to remember is some of the instances he had garbage poured on him. Did you read that his script, Richard McBeef?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, if those weren't clues that the kid was totally disintegrating and basically talking about his childhood and all of this, all of his things were dark portrayals and everything. So I think people need to look at it from they need to take a step back and say, you know what? Anyone can instantly become a kid like this if you're berated constantly and constantly and constantly. It's just some people have a stronger construction of themselves, and it just takes longer to erode. It's like the movie, it's like the movie Falling Down, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
He just goes regular. He has the square haircut. He's not like Cho Sung-hui. He's a privileged white person living in the, going to work in a multicultural society.
Or back up another couple of decades, and you get Charles Bronson and Death Wish.
Right, Bronson and Death Wish, and all of a sudden, he gets mad.
Well, but then again, okay, David, you've entered into the realm of the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Which comes first? Do you get Cho Sung-hui out of a violent society, or is Cho Sung-hui merely a manifestation or a mirror image of a violent society?
I think it's a mixture of both, and I think it's a hybrid of both, and I think that's why it's even more reason to pay attention to the people around us, and if we're going to be treated like a society and a community and a civil civilization, then we really have to stop saying, he was evil and he was demented. Why did he do that? I mean, I don't know. I think I call it the YouTube mindset. Because if you go on YouTube, you can see the psyches of people in an instance, in a flash, to pop cultural references and video. And the comments that they leave are like, can't believe he did that. He was demented and he was evil. And I mean, they'll be arguing left and right. He goes, but we're not going to take our guns away. And I mean, that's what they do on YouTube. They argue left and right about total nonsense. And that's where you can see like a slice of the psyche of America right in front of you.
Very true.
And it is scary because, you know, you got 30, you got 40 year olds, you got 50 year olds. And there they are posting on YouTube, giving you their armchair view of what a psyche is supposed to be.
Well said, David. We got to roll.
All right, later, Bob.
Take care. Bye now. Yeah, there's a slice of life. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow evening. Thanks to Agnes for producing. Thanks to Brian Reznor for announcing, to John Fox, our engineer in Sydney, Australia. Thanks to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch. Do the right thing with his fundraiser, please. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT professional. Many thanks to the moderators in the chat room and our news ninjas, part of the most elite email list on earth. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who in their thousands get up every day and build the American dream and help us save the American dream. Sweet dreams, little Liza. We'll try to make a better world. And always, always, RMR, it's all for you.
I expect that to come out to go out of Guantanamo, that Al-Qaeda number 3 stole the missing emails that are in question, that the Democrats are trying to get the GOP, the White House, the Bush administration to release. It's Al-Qaeda number 3. Welcome aboard, everyone, to another edition of the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We're glad you are here with us. To all our longtime Wolfpack listeners and all to the new Wolfpack listeners discovering the show on a daily basis, we thank you for all your emails, sending it out there and letting us know that you exist. And Samantha joining me in the studio is always my producer, Natasha, my news producer and better half, Dave, our website designer, and Rusty, our guidance and inspiration, and Maverick, our intern, who's now become an official member of the Wolfpack listening group here at Studio 19. We're in Arizona. Beautiful, beautiful, cool day today, overlooking the Superstition Mountain, and a lot of things in the news. We always have a lot of different things. First of all, some business out of the way. A big plug to Nonstop Radio, nonstopradio.com. Check it out. They finally put up a link page for alternatives to Nova M and alternatives to AAR, Air America. Finally realizing that internet radio is the way to go. Everyone is so upset they're losing the progressive talk shows in all their cities, but they're forgetting internet streamed radio is the future of progressive liberal radio. It's great to have the big hitters like Malloy and Hartman and Miller and Collins and Werby and Press and etc. But the bottom line is internet radio. This is what people are listening to. With the new devices out there, the new gadgets, they can listen at any time, anywhere, any station, anywhere in the world. They don't have to be tied to a network. So thanks for Nonstop Radio finally putting up on their front page a link to alternative sources of progressive liberal radio. And if you are a nonstopradio.com person and you found our show through this,